Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it completely.
You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too high for me to attain.
Where can I go from your spirit?
Where can I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there.
If I make my bed in the depths, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and settle on the far side of the sea,
even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you.
The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you.
For you formed my inward parts.
You knitted me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them.
How precious to me.
Could I count them? They're more numerous than the sand.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we are in your hands. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Oh.
Lord, we do thank you that we are known, that we are in your hands. Lord, we just thank you that this is a day of retreat, that it's not a program. It's just a time to be together with you. And we just ask, Father, that you would take our schedule, that you would just give us the flexibility in our spirits to move with you today, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you so much for this time together. Amen. Well, if Jack has a song for us, we'll do it. Otherwise, I think we'll just start.
I think for now, let's just go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, we're starting at the beginning in session one. We have two sessions today, and I just want to introduce kind of what's behind the messages that we're going to share. Our stories are like gardens. And this year in Second Saturday, our messages have come from sharing portions of our stories where our souls have been shaped. Our focus has been on Jesus' love and what it is to be loved and to express love. For February, March, and April, our topic has been words that transform, that affirm and transform. So today we're focused on our root system, what we draw on as a source of life, what fruits we produce, and where the Lord would renew us through his love. And it has to do with the words that we speak to ourselves and the words that others speak to us. We belong to our Heavenly Father, and our resources are meant to reflect his nature according to his loving plans for us. So as in a garden, the reality is that along the way, not all the seeds of our potential have germinated our own. Not all the growing conditions have been ideal in our lives. In our history, the tending of the plantings has not always promoted our development. And it's important for us to understand what in the garden of our own soul has fueled and fed our potential. What has brought meaning to our ongoing growth? And where does the Lord have something more for us? The plan of our God is to redeem who we are. And in that sense, it is why our stories matter. In the ministry of Jesus, we see him in story after story, salvaging lives, leading people away from wasted lives as he calls them to follow him. When, to the woman at the well, he explained who he was and what he had come to reveal to the world, he also told her a critical part of her own story. It is evident, though they had met, she was known to Jesus ahead of time. He then revealed himself to her. We don't know the outcome, but we know that she began to tell others part of her story that was marked by an encounter with Jesus. We too are known. Our stories are known. The meaning and purposes of our lives are known. If we have gone off track, the Lord will meet us and redeem our history in some way. I think we all have experienced that. We can simply ask him to open the way for this redeeming work in our lives. We are already on a positive trajectory. And I think that 2 Corinthians 3 says it all, really. We all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In our plans for this retreat, God gave our group an image representing a way in which he wanted to work in all of us at the retreat. The image was of an auger, if you know what that is. They're used for boring holes in the ground or in ice or whatever. And in the image he gave us, the auger was working its way down into hardened soil, which represented areas of our stories that had been hardened over for years, burying potential that only the Lord knew was there. As the soil loosened, the seeds and the seedlings were unearthed, and their potential for growth was released as they came to the surface into the rain and the sun. In response to that image, our prayer for all of us at the retreat was that we would experience this softening of our soil and the emergence of buried purposes that the Lord has for our lives. So as we make room for what God wants us to do in our hearts, we will talk about healing words, messages that correct what is broken, diseased, or dormant. We may feel there's a subtle shadow inside of us. It may be about what we are not, where we have fallen, shame that's attached to some failures in our lives, or just the fact that we are human. It may be that sins and mistakes actually define us rather than the light that's above the shadow that comes from God. How can we begin to deal with these things? I'll just share two scriptures, Psalm 36:9, for with the Lord, with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. And in your light, we see light. And the second one has to do with words, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and intentions and attitudes of the heart. And that can seem negative, but I think it also is how the Lord penetrates to the goodness in us and the good intentions and aspirations that we have for our lives. We can trust the Spirit and the penetrating work of God. In his light, we are shown what is real and true so that we can align our thoughts and our faith with the story God has meant for us to live out. So we're going to start with Kim and Diane, who are going to share about the healing and flourishing that has come out of their relationship with the Lord as they have drawn on his love. The first, the name of our session is Rooted in God's Love. Kim will talk about the wiring of our brains. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and she'll talk about that. And then Diane will share about ways in which God changed her as she had to learn to draw on his love. So we'll let Kim go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, am I on?
I hear you.
You can hear me? You can see me? Okay, I'm going to share my screen. Oops, looks like I can't. Can you fix that, Jack? That's right, when we changed that other thing, it changed that. Thank you all for bearing with us as we all work with this technology stuff. If you need to make me co-host again, that's fine.
I can't hear you, Chris.
I think you could go ahead, Kim, and start.
There we go. Make sure I get the right one. Okay. Now, can you see me?
Yes.
You can see, can you see my screen?
Not yet.
I don't think I can start till I do this.
One second.
Oh, I see what went wrong.
There we see it.
Okay, great. I think we have everything going. Okay. I am glad to be with you here. And my session is going to have a little bit of a workshop feel. So, you know, if you need to move around or anything, feel free. We're going to do a little practice later during part of it. And I'm just checking the time. It looks like we're good. So I'm just excited to share a way of connecting with and receiving from God that's been really helpful for me. So a story my mom tells is that when I was 3 years old, I said to her, "Let's think about things. Why do we have brains?" I guess my interest in the brain goes way back. I have a science and medical background, and I do particularly enjoy studying the intersection of brain science and Christian faith. So I'm going to try to give you a crash course in one aspect of this. First, I'd like to share just a bit about my story. I really think these pictures describe my journey far better than my words can, but I will try. I tried to know God intimately, to do all the right things, to do listening prayer, to receive healing from him and receive his love. And I had a few results here and there and a little progress, but mostly I was really frustrated. If you heard my testimony in December, you will know that my gut level response was to hold God off at a far distance in fear, knowing that I was not worthy of his love, despite my knowledge and acceptance of the gospel. As my sense of need deepened, the Lord led me to learn and practice a new approach, which very gradually, over time, and with many repetitions, in various forms and in various contexts, began to reshape my perception and my view of myself. And it snowballs because the more I receive from him, the more I am open to receiving from him. I have found him to be so kind, incredibly kind, so empathetic and warm, so helpful and unflustered by me, my emotions, my mistakes. So wise, so patient, so down to earth, ironically enough. Really the most amazing and likable person I have ever encountered. I can feel peaceful in my body and feel his presence at the same time. I can share my true and ugly thoughts and feelings with him and feel safe. He can take it, it turns out. As a matter of fact, he seems glad when I share with him, when I invite him into my present moments or my memories, when I notice the things he delights to show me. And I feel glad too, and sense like a warm golden connectedness in my heart. At times like these, it doesn't feel much like a hardship to share with someone else what I've discovered, or to shift my perspective to match his far kinder and wiser one. It feels like something I want to do, at least mostly. Receiving from God is not always easy. It's not always simple. And it is not the only thing we need to be transformed into his likeness. Some of the other important components will be presented later this morning. But these three practices have been a huge help to me in beginning the journey of connecting with his heart. And I would like now to first share them with you, give you some background about what they do inside of us, and then give us the chance to try them out. So the three basic practices: appreciate, notice, and describe. Sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? Part of the reason is that these first two invitations are right brain activities that are very hard to describe in words. The right brain is nonverbal, and we need to actually experience these things or see examples to really get it. So it is not so much that I'll be sharing something brand new to us. It's just the combination, including the order, with a few how-to helps from brain science. Each step is very good in itself, but if you do them in order in a specific way, it is far more effective. First, I want to clarify and give credit to the sources. The two sources agree and clarify each other. Most of the content I will be sharing here comes out of the teachings of Dr. Jim Wilder and others who base it, Christians, who base it on the scientific findings coming out of modern brain science, including the imaging of the living brain over the last few decades. Of course, we know that God created us fearfully and wonderfully, and when we find that these two sources, his creation and his word, agree about these practices, it is a confirmation of our interpretations of these sources. We want to be true to the scriptures and also understand how God actually designed our brain. But let's look at each of these practices in more detail. The first is to appreciate. I spend time savoring God's gifts and goodness as a pathway into his presence. I like the word savor here. This is not just knowing or saying we're thankful for friends and family and health and so on. That is good. But here is the tweak. When I savor God's gifts to me, and when able, I may also savor God's goodness, his personal character as well, I enjoy these things with my whole being, both sides of my brain. As the scripture says, we do enter his gates with thanksgiving, approaching God in a state of gratitude. And here's what happens as we do. We have fired up our right brain relational circuits for optimal perception of another person. So with the modern brain science, we have learned that our right brain has extensive relational circuits that enable us to receive much of what and how another person is intending to communicate to us. If I say, well, I'm glad to see you here, would you believe I'm really glad? My words, my actual words, don't matter as much as the nonverbals. It is beyond the scope of this talk, but we do need to realize that God has designed us such that these relational circuits can be shut down and bypassed. And this is ideal for certain temporary situations. But for many reasons, we often function without the benefit of all our wonderful right brain capabilities and may hardly be aware of it. Understanding these circuits has many applications to all our relationships, but today we are going to focus on prayer and receiving from God. So Dr. Wilder, together with Dr. Carl Lehman, realized that we receive best from God as we activate that same relational hardware. Since God is a person and a very relational one, this makes sense. When our relational circuits are warmed up and ready to receive from others, this is our brain's most natural and functional state. And this is when we are seeing God, the world, and ourselves in the most accurate light. But here's another tweak. It takes about 3 minutes of feeling appreciation to fully engage our relational circuits. There are many ways to warm up our relational circuits. Many of us have experienced God's presence in worship or in nature, for example. But when we turn to praying about and focusing on real pain or problems, it becomes much harder. So there are other ways to do this, but this practice of remembering and savoring quietly in a right brain way is a very practical way for when we go to silent prayer. Once we are feeling appreciation, we are invited to move to the next practice. From this appreciation place, I notice. I open my heart and mind to God, and I notice thoughts and impressions that bring me peace, that seem good, true, and fitting. Often, we'll ask him a question and then notice. But at the very least, we just remain open to him. This step two can take some practice, just to notice and be aware of our own awareness without taking a judgmental stance on whatever we may spontaneously see in our mind's eye, perceive, hear, or feel. It is usually very subtle and easy to miss or discount. With that in mind, note that this is not the time to evaluate the source or the content of the thoughts. In fact, worrying about that or worrying about whether we'll notice anything or not can shut down our relational circuits and so effectively turn off our receivers or turn them way down. 99% of the time, we cannot definitely tell if the thoughts we notice are our own or God's. And it is helpful to know that this actually makes sense from a brain science perspective. We are sharing and perceiving thoughts and perspectives, just as we might do with someone else we know and are glad to be with. But in this case, we have the mind of Christ. Wow. We may feel like we just get something or see it from a new perspective. It may just feel like ordinary thoughts or be a little surprising. And just as we might misunderstand or misperceive another person in the flesh, we can misunderstand and need to go back for clarification with God, and he is just fine with that. So there is no need to listen for a cathedral voice or a crystal clear anything. Just notice what comes to mind, often in a gentle, flowing sort of way, and brings peace. Next is describe. I find words to describe his peace and its effect on me. The third invitation follows right from the second, to put into words what brought us peace or how we perceive the Lord to be responding to us. Sometimes this is difficult or takes some hunting to find the right words. But this practice is important in order to bring the right brain content into our left brain, where it can be considered, understood, shared, and applied to our lives more easily. It helps our whole brain understand the significance, incorporate it into our identity, remember it, and project it into the future. It also roots this encounter into my life and community, and so has a beautiful ripple effect. Journaling is one way to describe, speaking aloud is another, just dictating, and most impactful of all is sharing it out loud with another person when that feels peaceful and appropriate. We see many exhortations in scripture to put our experience with God into words. See Psalm 71 for one example. Now that we have articulated our impressions, now we can test it. Does it sound like Jesus? We test with God's word and God's people. If we are seeking God, it is rare that we'll perceive peaceful content from another source. Not too rarely, though, it is possible that our head knowledge fills in things just to try to be helpful. That is not necessarily bad or false, but it usually won't bring a sense of God's peaceful, helpful presence. An example of this would be, you should be reading your Bible more. So we want to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And actually, peace is more than a feeling. Peace is a relationship with the one who is glad to be with us. So when we are sensing his shalom, we are actually sensing his presence at some level. One other definition of peace is a deep calm that says, this is true. Before we start, I want to add a caveat here. This isn't a magic formula. My heart goes out to the little boy in this picture, as it reminds me of another little boy I knew with dyslexia. It's so easy to draw any number of false conclusions when we struggle and we don't understand why. I don't want anyone to feel like they are a failure if this exercise doesn't come perfectly easily. Some people need extra help for no fault of their own. So when it's still hard, it is probably not anything you're doing wrong. You can grow this capacity with practice. And help to remove barriers is available. Sometimes we need extra help and a lot of practice to learn to receive. I did. Sometimes it's easier than others. The pain or distress may just be too big right now. However, I am praying that this will be a blessing, especially for those who may struggle to hear from God. So, now we are going to enter the practicum session. And I want to invite you to approach this, first of all, as an invitation. Nothing is required of you. It's not a performance. It's more like a child's lab experiment. It's just a chance to see what happens when we try putting these things into practice. And it's important to know that the hardest part of this exercise today and going forward will be to sit in appreciation, feeling appreciation long enough to get your brain into a malleable state, which helps us sense God's presence and what he wants us to know. So I invite you to get comfortable. If you're actually more comfortable standing up, that can be fine. Just shifting from side to side can be calming. If you'd like to turn off your camera, if you'd feel more comfortable, feel free. There's a little video icon in the toolbar. And we'll just take 5 or 10 minutes. We'll see how long, but I'll try to give us at least 3 minutes in that appreciation stage. So I think I'll just open in prayer and then I will just prompt you through the exercise and the steps. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you that you have promised to be with us always, to meet with us when two or three gather in your name. And we do gather in your name. We commit this time to you. We ask for your protection, your guidance, your help, your presence, and your goodness to be shown to each participant. So we thank you in advance for what you will do during this prayer time and the rest of the day. So as you get yourself comfortable, can relax and take a few slow breaths. Scan your body for any tense muscles and see if you can relax them. Realizing that you are safe. Sometimes just our neck, or our jaw, or our tongue is tense. And if what you really need today is just to stay here and be quiet and calm and still, feel free. That's a wonderful practice in itself, and there are scriptures to support it. But now I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would bring to mind and help the rest of us to connect with a memory of appreciation when we felt peaceful and maybe fully alive, connected in some way to you or your good gifts. And I will give you a minute or so here just to choose a memory and then connect with it in as much detail as possible, bringing it to mind more fully and actively appreciating the experience. Remember and notice how it felt to each of your senses. What did you see? Hear? Touch or feel on your body? Were you smelling or tasting anything? Enjoy those good things. How did it feel in your emotions? Let's just sit with that for another minute. You may wish to thank God for that experience. Notice how you feel in your emotions and your body now as you think about this. How does it feel to appreciate? And if you're still working at this, or if you just wish to stay here in this appreciation place, feel free. And it's a beautiful place to just be grateful. And if you'd like to continue on, I invite you in this memory, kind of look around and see if you notice anything. Maybe something that you might not have been aware of at the time. This is a chance to revisit a positive time in your life. You might even look around with your spiritual eyes and ask God to show you anything you didn't notice at the time. And now I invite you to notice if you have a sense of peace or God's presence, either in that memory place or even in the present moment. What is this like for you? Let's ask Emmanuel, God with us, what do you have for me here today? What do you feel about me, Lord? Just notice what thoughts come to mind, what emotions you feel. And as you have some thoughts or pictures or sensations, just take another moment to thank God for what you're noticing. And then we take a couple more deep breaths and we'll just come back together as you're ready. Now we are ready to move to step three, which is putting it into words. You may have started a little bit already. There's some space to jot something on your journaling page, either now or later. And I'd like to clarify, just as you see on the slide, that there's three main areas that you could consider describing. And it would be optimal to share this aloud right away while it's fresh in your mind. But for our purposes today, I'm just going to highlight number three. This is often the hardest one to notice. So just think about one or two words or phrases about how this exercise, this prayer time, affected you. And if you'd like to, you could type them into the chat box to share with others, but there's no pressure to do that at all. And while you're thinking of these words and phrases, I will go to the last couple slides. We were wired and redeemed for connection with God. He loves to be with his children. And he made us to be able to connect spiritually, but with our whole person to him. And remember, gratitude is the password for God's Wi-Fi, to put it in modern tech terms. And I would add heartfelt gratitude. We can learn to find something to appreciate even in a prison cell, especially when we are remembering the past. My goal and desire is to grow a lifestyle of receiving from and connecting with God, even during pain or problems like Jesus did. This may be called the Emmanuel lifestyle or practicing God's presence. And this gives us life to share. So God's grace and peace to you as you appreciate notice, and describe all you receive from him. We won't be taking questions at this time, but I'd be happy to try to help clarify. You can, I think we'll just have you go with sending emails to All Things New, and they can route them to me that way. I also invite you to journal more about what you received during reflection times, or even take a risk and share what you sensed with those in your small group, whatever feels peaceful. And consider experimenting with a few minutes of feeling gratitude at the beginning of your listening prayer times, or any time. So thank you, and we have a rich time ahead of us with his people.